This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Jaguar Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Scoreboard Show. Final score 20-9. Panthers over the Jags. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Phone lines are open 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Oh, Michael.
Oh, boy.
So it ought to be pretty interesting today. The Jags offense sputtered. That's probably the best way to put it. And the Jags defense was just gassed, I think, at the end of the day, right?
You know, JP, very reminiscent of last year, right? We talked about this immediately after the game. Here's a team struggling to move the football in the Jaguars. They get something going in the two-minute offense, like we saw Blake Bortles doing, kind of, you know, scramble, helter-skelter situations at time last year. And you come out in the second half, and the defense gives you a chance, gets you a stop, gives you a chance, gets you a stop, and they just can't generate anything. Of course, the pick six put the points on the board for Carolina, and, you know, just nothing really going offensively in the second half, and couldn't get them off the field on that final game-clinching drive.
Oh boy, that drive was just a backbreaker, man. 15 plays, 64 yards, 8 minutes, 7 seconds, 3 third down conversions.
And a couple of third and longs that were converted on that. That was the killer on that situation. You had Kotry, we've already detailed that one, Kotry catching that one after the timeout, which the Jags looked like they had to stop. And then Cam running for one when it looked like the entire defense, they came at him, they sent the house, right? And the one time they were able to get some pressure there, nobody plugged up the middle, and Cam Newton was able to dart right up the middle, and he's so tough to bring down when he gets ahead of steam and able to run and convert a long third down there as well. So there you go.
That was a big part of the pregame show. How do you get to Cam
and
then keep him contained and then get him on the ground?
And this was the case. We were worried about, are the ends going to come up the field too far? And Cam steps in and then cuts it outside. Here, everybody came up the field, and the middle just kind of opened up. Look, they're trying to get to the quarterback. You know, everyone's there, and they were around him. But there were a couple of instances beyond that one specific one where it looked like guys had him wrapped up. Chris Smith had a shot at him. I mean, look, he's tough to bring down. I mean, one-on-one, he is a tough guy to bring down. Chris Smith, probably about the same size as Cam Newton, right? Cam might even be a little bit bigger than him, honestly. Certainly strong guy back there. And, you know, they got some pressure on him. They kept him in the pocket. He didn't run wild on them, but it was critical times today that the defense just was not able to get him on the ground.
Final totals for Newton today, 18 of 31 passing, 175 yards, sacked twice. Had that touchdown pass and one interception today, too. Poslesny, a rating of just over 71 today for Cam Newton. Other side, Blake Bortles, 22 of 40, 183 yards, sacked 5 times today. One touchdown, 2 interceptions. The backbreaker, though, the pick six. That's been, what, 5 for him now in his career? Is
that
the
5th one? Right? That sounds about right.
Which is Mike DiRocco during the game tweeted that stat, that the 5 since the start of last year is the most in that time frame, of course, for any quarterback. So that would make sense. That's 4 last year, 1 this year. It's 5. But, boy, that's the backbreaker of the game. That turned the whole thing. I don't know why there was not a flag on that play, by the way, on the – but it's a moot point. It's a touchdown no matter what. Either way, that was just that's a heartbreaker.
Here's the stat, the overall stat of the Gus Bradley era that I think going to bring some Jag fans down, but, you know, just got to share it with you. 20-plus points. If the Jags put that number on the board, they're 6-3.
20.
Which
okay.
20. If they score 20 or more, okay. Which tells you that the defense is, you know, doing a pretty good job. If you get to 20 and you're winning two-thirds of your games, that's pretty good. They fail to get to 20. They're 1-23. Okay, I mean, that's putting a lot of burden, but it's more. Look, there are probably a lot of teams that have a pretty bad record when they fail to get to 20, but they failed to get to 20 24 times out of 33 games now. And that is not going to win too many games in the National Football League.
Way to bring us down, Mike.
I mean, it's just the facts, man.
It is.
Just the way it goes on this one. So you hope that this is just one game. A lot of teams, Indy. they didn't put up any kind of offense today. Houston, they're supposed to be the cream of the division, right? Well, they didn't do anything as well. There are a lot of teams. Seattle loses the opener today to St. Louis in overtime. A lot of teams that were expected to win didn't win, so it doesn't mean your season's over with, but boy, it's just too eerily similar to what we've seen in recent history out of the Jags for my taste, and I would imagine a lot of Jaguar fans' taste out there as well. Ready to get to it?
Oh, I suppose. I mean, got to be close to it. The phone lines are lighting up.
Oh, they're all lit up. As soon as we get some up on the board here, we're gonna bring them to you. Oh yeah, Twitter was not. I mean, look, there's not a whole lot to be excited about. I mean, there are a few glimpses here and there, but what do we say before the game? I don't care if they play great and they lose. I'd rather they play poorly and win. Well, you know, with the exception of a few bright spots here and there, they didn't play particularly well and they lost, and you got to wonder, you know, what can they do in a week's time with some potentially significant injuries that are going to impact them if they can't get back on the field. I mean, Luke Jokel, they said in a boot after the game and hopeful to play next week. You're in a boot, it's not looking good for the short term anyway. And Sam Young today gave up a couple of sacks and, you know, just got pushed around at times. And, you know, he had a penalty that he should have been called, hands to the face. Guy knocked his helmet off. But, you know, look, as much as Luke Jokel, I've questioned if he's going to live up to his draft stock and all this, we've always said throughout the preseason he's clearly the best option they have on that side. So can't afford to lose your left tackle in week one of the season.
Let's get to a tweet before we get to some phone calls. This is at Prez UK Jags fans. In lieu of my phone call, and then he has six consecutive angry frowny faces emojis. I'll let Terrence say the rest.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know if frowny sure faces would have translated on the air, but I have a feeling they would have. He would have spoken some words to explain those frowny faces.
So
I get the point.
That I think that's going to be a trend here.
I don't think you're going to see too many people saying, "Hey, well, it's okay, rah rah." Let's find out. 800-355-NFL1. You know the number. Let's go to James on the south side to start things off here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, James. How are you?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Not that it doesn't matter. My football pool is 31 people. Everybody picked the Jags with 5 people. And another thing I'm going to ask you is, are we the only team in the league who doesn't throw to a tight end? I picked up Mercedes Lewis thinking, okay, Tom's sitting in. We're going to hit him a bunch of targets. We're probably the only team this week that didn't have a catch by a tight end. Is that true?
Oh, I couldn't tell. I didn't monitor every game, but I would guess that's true. I mean, typically every
somebody's
team has
got a touch. Right.
Somebody's catching a few passes at the tight end position.
Didn't really look that
didn't
way.
Didn't even throw, which is shocking based on how well Mercedes Lewis and Clay Harbor made an impact in the preseason.
They each had one target today, Jacobs and Harbor, and Mercedes Lewis is not on the list at all today. So considering the camp that Mercedes Lewis had, he claims it was the best in his career, and the Jags staff felt that way too. You saw tight ends all over the preseason making, but Clay Harbor touched the ball so many times in those preseason games, but nothing today.
Look, I understand, and Greg Olsen told you in the pregame interview that we're not going to sugarcoat the loss of Julius Thomas. That's a big loss.
Yes.
And, you know, ultimately you'll get Julius Thomas and hopefully Marquise Lee back in short order, but they're not here right now. You got to play with what you've got. And based on the way those guys performed in the preseason, you would have thought they would have been a heavier part of the game plan. I was surprised at how many three wide receiver sets, even with Thomas being out, that we saw today, as evidenced by Rashad Green getting 13 balls thrown his way.
That's incredible number,
yeah.
By the way.
800-355-NFL1. I'm with
you. Never
would
have thought 13 targets for Green.
Right. I wouldn't know if anyone would get 13 targets in a game this year. You would figure it would be Allen Robinson or Julius Thomas. But Rashad Green got them today. At least he got into the end zone with one of them. Let's go to Dallas on the east side up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Dallas. How are you?
Man, I am confused. After everything we've watched in pregame and preseason, I listened to all the hype. To see him play like this today, it kind of broke my heart.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling the same way today, Dallas. I mean, that's everything was so hyped up for this, man. The preseason had gone well. Blake had the offense down. He looked poised in the preseason. That's so out of character for what happened today with that pick six. That was not in anybody's mindset.
Well, it's out of character for what happened
what he
this
showed
offseason.
The preseason. Yeah,
absolutely. But as we know, they're not mixing coverages. They're not showing you a different bunch of looks. But, you know, then again, you're going to see teams that performed well in the preseason at a high level offensively carry that into the regular season. It's just a question of what do you see that you can believe? It's hard to tell sometimes. I don't think the Jags offense is going to be this bad all year, particularly when they get the full complement of weapons. But, you know, for today, there's not a whole lot that you can really hang your hat on offensively.
No, the run game, but, you know, you would like to see a little more.
Right. Well, that's the T.J. Yeldon in the first half. But then where did it go?
Right. It
didn't go much of anywhere in the second half. Let's get one more in here before we break. Rob at the beach is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Rob. Hello, Rob.
Oh.
No, Rob?
He gone.
All right. Let's. I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a timeout? We'll come back. We got phone lines all over the
phone
place.
Phone lines open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games, and tickets start at $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information. We'll return with more of your calls. Final score 20-9, Panthers over the Jags. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Yes, it does. 20-9, the final score. Panthers over the Jags in Week 1. Some other scores around Week 1 of the National Football League. Buffalo upended Indy today, 27-14. Rex Ryan getting started the right way. T.Y. Hilton left the game with a knee injury. The Packers beat the Bears 31-23. Kansas City, a winner in Houston, 27-20. The Jets beat the Browns 31-10. Final in overtime in St. Louis, the Rams over the Seahawks 34-31. Marshawn Lynch ran for it on 4th-and-1 in overtime and was stopped. Boy, that's the Super Bowl. Coming back from the Super Bowl where they didn't run in that that short yardage situation. They go for it on 4th-and-1 with a run, and they fall short. Miami, a winner over Washington, 17-10. Games in action now in the two-minute warning first half. Cardinals over the Saints, 14-10. 12 seconds to go, first half. Lions over the Chargers, 21-10. Denver over Baltimore, 6-3. That's in the second quarter. 7 minutes to go until halftime in Oakland. Cincinnati, 10-0. They lead the Raiders. Tennessee, 21. Tampa Bay, 7. Winston has thrown a touchdown after the pick six earlier. And, of course, the night game tonight, Giants at Dallas. 2 Monday night games, Philly at Atlanta, and Minnesota at San Francisco. Scoreboard Show continues. You know, we were talking during the break about, boy, what some themes of this game. The early theme today were some Jaguars receivers that dropped the ball in
some
situations.
Of that, yeah.
So a little of that today might have helped open up a few things later. Right?
Look, they missed field goal, missed extra point, big drop by Allen Robinson on the sideline. Several plays like that. Even the one he caught was kind of a double catch where he didn't quite catch it in stride. And, you know, I got this tweet in, JP.
Okay.
This one from at MikeMichael76. Mike Romano says, they didn't get 10. Mike, stop being owned by the Jags. The offense was horrible. Just say it. What have I said that indicates I think the offense was good today? I said, there were a little bit of a burst from T.J. Yeldon in the first half. That's about it. I mean, what else? I mean, I don't know what you're hearing out there. The offense was not good today. Yes, 9 points in the NFL, you're not going to win many games at all, as evidenced by the Jags' record under Gus Bradley when they failed to score 20. So there you have it. All right, let's go back to the phone, shall we? 355-NFL-1.
I can't wait.
Oh, they're loaded up. Let's go to Saqib. I'm sure he's going to be in a great mood.
He's going to be fired up.
On the south side. Hello, Saqib.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey, man.
What's up?
You know, the fans were good today. We show up, and, you know, it's not the Carolina Panthers beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars that beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Turnover by Hearns, like you said, fumbles, missed extra points. I thought we were ready to play. First game of the year, we were supposed to be hyped up. They're not hyped up. I guarantee you, Mike, and you know me for really well. You know me for years. Okay, I love this team. I guarantee you this team is 0-4. I can bet on anything right now. And that's hard to say that for this franchise. And I'm sad to say that. But it's just what it is. Every year, it's the same old thing for us. And I don't know what to say anymore, man. I'm disappointed, man.
It's understandable.
Sounds like it.
Look, I'm not going to guarantee Owen anything, but certainly there's nothing easy on the schedule that you look and say, well, that one's a a win in the column right now. Based on the way they played today, you can't put anything. And look, we didn't just chalk up the Carolina game. But I think the factors that you looked into, the way they played in the preseason, it's at home. Carolina had some guys missing as well.
Yes,
and
they
then,
did.
And
they
then Luke Kuechly goes out. Their best player goes out, and the offense does nothing in the second half of this game today. So there were the conditions were there. I agree with Saqib, and I agree with a lot of people who said the Jags beat themselves today. That's not to take credit from the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers didn't do anything exceptional today that beat you. The Jags, you know, whether it's beating themselves or not just coming up with enough plays to be better than the Panthers, whatever it was, the Jags had opportunities today and couldn't capitalize on them.
Is it okay if I extremely dislike Cam Newton still?
Sure you can.
Still, right? Deep in my soul.
Let's be honest, you're an Alabama guy.
Yep. Right? Goes back to 2010.
And it hasn't
improved at all.
That's a part of it.
It only gets worse.
And the big toothy smile is a big part of it.
It's a big part.
But, hey, what can you say? They're the victors today.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. Let's go to Kevin in McClenny up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Tough loss. You always hate to lose the first one. Do you think the tight ends did so well in preseason? Do you think that was part of the game plan, that they were afraid that the Panthers were going to be looking out for that? And I'll take your answer. Off the phone.
Thanks. All right, thank you, Kevin. We were just talking about that on the break, right? A lot of max protect. You know, Tony Smith brought up the fact that they held in Mercedes Lewis, and you'd expect some of that. You know, Carolina, even without Greg Hardy, who wasn't with them last year, but that was a big part of their success leading into last year. They bring some good pass rush to the table. It's a good defense overall, so I guess they felt like maybe they'd keep Mercedes in as kind of that sixth offensive lineman. And the surprise to me, though, was that it was Rashad Greene instead of Clay Harbor in there. And look, in the end, he had 7 catches, but he only had 28 yards. There's really nothing that developed down the field for Rashad Greene in this football game, JP. It didn't look to me like Blake Bortles was under constant duress in the pocket.
I thought
the protection was decent.
There were a couple times where he had protection and there was good coverage.
And he had a couple of bad overthrows today as well. You know, so I didn't think he looked particularly sharp today. And I don't know if it was guys. Now, the coaches will go back and watch a film. I don't know if guys were open in the secondary and he missed them, but we didn't see too many guys, you know, running open despite the fact that the protection was pretty good in there. I think that was clearly part of the game plan. Have the tight end in, but we expect that anyway, right? When Julius Thomas plays and we expect 2 tight end sets, Mercedes Lewis is going to be in and held in as a blocker sometimes, and it'll be Julius Thomas running those patterns. I am, though, surprised that Clay Harbor wasn't utilized in that role today, the dual tight ends, and we talked about how few targets came their way.
We'll see. We'll get a week to work on it and try to adjust against a really good Miami D.
Out to Fleming Island we go, 355 NFL1. Randy, you're next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man.
On the mic with Mike. What's up, guys?
What's up, bud?
Listen, man, I'm really disappointed in our wide receiver corps. It was apparent for me, you know, my buddy Josie hooked me up with some good tickets. I was out there in section 203, and they weren't creating any separation. I don't understand. I feel like there's been a need for a veteran wide receiver for the past couple years, and we've continued to ignore that. I'm not really sure. You know, I'm invested. I'll be there next Sunday. I just wanted to take your thoughts on on our wide receivers and what they have to offer.
Yeah, and here's the thing that I guarantee will come up throughout the course of the week.
Okay, yes.
James Jones, who was out there as a free agent, right? Now, seriously, he went to the Giants. He got cut. And people were saying, hey, here's a guy who has at least played in the league, caught 2 touchdowns today from Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's playing with Aaron Rodgers, so he's a difference maker. There's no question about that. But, look, they don't have Marquise Lee out there. But can you count on him being out there at any point and staying out there when he does get out there?
He hasn't yet.
Right, he hasn't yet. So, you know, these guys, I didn't see a lot of separation. We watch it from a different angle, clearly, JP, than the people sitting in the seat, the general bowl seating. Because we're watching on TV, because we're in the studio the whole time, so we can't always tell who's getting separation. It's dependent on the camera angles. But I didn't put it this way: I didn't see Blake missing guys who are running wide open. I didn't say, "Oh man, he just didn't see that guy." It didn't appear to us like there were a lot of those opportunities there for him.
You're right. I have nothing else to add to that. Let's take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-635. It was such expert analysis, I had nothing to add to it.
Thank you.
Well done. Back in a moment. Your calls. Jags fall 20-9 to the Panthers. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Scoreboard Show continues. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey, 20-9. Panthers over the Jags. An update from Tampa Bay, by the way. Marcus Mariota has 3 touchdown passes, 8 of 11 passing for 3 touchdounds, 156 yards through the air, and the Titans lead the Bucs 28-7. With 3:47 to play in the second quarter. How about that?
Yeah. Not too happy about that either.
That's a bummer, man.
The one good thing would be if the Bucs could come back and win this game, you're tied for first place.
Thank you, Michael.
There's your positive spin on it. That's
good
all
job.
I got.
You're owned by the Jags.
That's
good
all
job.
I guess I am, right? But I'm just trying to look on the bright side here, man. I mean, we could sit here and wallow in it and go, oh, we're going to go on 16. But, I mean, there's not a whole lot positive that you take out of this game. At least not a whole lot positive I take out of this game. But
Yeldon ran well early.
Yeah, that's it. That's about it. Right?
Clemens played well.
Puzlesny played well.
12th career pick for Puzlesny.
There were a few individuals. But
blocked field goal.
A few individuals are not enough to win football games. Let's go back to the lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I did that off the top of my head, JP. I know you're impressed.
Good job, man. Yeah.
Out to Jack's Beach we go. Jeff, you're up next. You're on the Scoreboard Show. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Thanks, guys. I'll try to make this as quick as I can. I've got 3 quick points. You mentioned Mariota. I'm watching that game while I sit here on hold with you. He looks like the next coming of Peyton Manning. He looks unstoppable. And it occurs to me as I'm watching that game that the biggest difference might be that he's got Ken Whisenhunt as his head coach and we have Gus Bradley. And I'm worried that Gus might just be one of those, you know, defensive head coaches that – it doesn't matter. They cycle through the offensive coordinators, and they just always suck on offense. And, you know, my brother is a big Miami Dolphins fan. He says he watches Blake Bortles. He says he looks like a better version of Chad Henne, but not good. And then my last point is Allen Robinson, most overrated guy on the team. He's just a guy. This idea that he's a number one is fool's gold.
It did happen today, that's for sure. I'll say this about Ken Whisenhunt. He earned a higher draft pick than Gus Bradley last year. So with all his prowess. I'm just not going to – Ken Whisenhunt, to me, isn't the second coming of Vince Lombardi. Mariota's off to a good start. If he were actually the second coming of Peyton Manning, he'd throw a bunch of picks his rookie season. He may be better based on 1.5 quarters of play. Look, I get it. I'm not, you know
– You just hammered him, by the way.
No, I didn't. I just – come on. Just slow the roll on a couple of these points. But, I understand the frustration. What are you supposed to say? Allen Robinson – played great today? No, he didn't play great today. And then we don't know how much the injury may have impacted
early,
him.
Yeah, sure.
But even before that, big drop, and we talked about that. I mean, you're there on the sideline. No need to jump for that pass. Just catch the ball, tap the feet, get him down, and pick up the first down in that instance. Mm-hmm. Jeff, thank you for the call. I get the frustration. Rob at the beach is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're okay. What's up?
Yeah, good.
Man, I listen to 1010 every week. I don't call him that much. I mean, I'm from here, and I love Colin, what he's doing, and I love the coach. But I just, man, wow. I don't even know what to say. I mean, maybe like the last caller said, and I love that. I want it to work, but you know, maybe that just that way of coaching is just not gonna motivate those guys. You know, like Parcells, he's not their buddy. And so I'm just wondering if that's what we need. I don't know. This is just for a first game to just totally just blow it out the water like that. It's just rough. I don't know what to say, but with it being that way right off the bat, I mean, we're literally looking at about 4 wins. I just can't believe it again.
Frustrating. Everybody's frustrated today, and the frustration runs very deep, and that's understandable, man, with what's going on around here. And especially what happened in the preseason. There was hope here. I mean, there still is hope, I think. Not the best of starts, but can't throw the whole season away after 1 week.
I think the tough thing for Jag fans is they felt like they had hope last year. You know, they were building up their expectations, yeah, at least to improve on the year before, and then they went backwards in the win column. And then you you see stuff that you think is going to give you hope in the preseason, and none of it materializes here in week one of the regular season. The only thing I disagree with Rob, I mean, I'm not predicting, you know, four wins or anything like that. You don't write off the season, but the temperament of Gus Bradley, to me, has nothing to do with whether he can be successful or not. Now, he may not be successful. His track record so far, where you're measured is wins and losses, and he doesn't have very many wins, and he has too many losses, but the guy he is most like in the NFL temperament-wise as a head coach is Pete Carroll, who has had more success over the last couple of years than any coach in the National Football League. Now, he's got players as well, but it's Pete Carroll's temperament isn't holding him back. It didn't cause him to lose the Super Bowl. It didn't cause him to win it the year before in blowout fashion. That, to me, you know, Pete Carroll is buddy-buddy. He's one of these high-energy, always-smiling type guys, and he's had tons of success winning. Tony Dungy wasn't this you know, mean, stern guy. You can have success with different kinds of temperament in the NFL. Gus hasn't had success. That's the bigger issue. No matter what his temperament is, he hasn't had the wins to go with the games played at this point in time.
Those teams you mentioned, the Seahawks, the Colts, even the Bucks with that Dungy built, some veteran guys that have been around and some superstars on those teams now. It's not just this team is much different than that. This is second, third-year players at the most that making the core of this team, and that takes time to build. That doesn't happen like that all the time.
Understood, right, but yeah. I'm just saying
you can win
as a happy-go-lucky coach,
yes,
for lack of a better phrase.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's the Jimmys and Joes are the big part of that.
It's a big part of it, but that's another part of it here. They're spending money. They're acquiring guys. Are they acquiring the right guys?
Yeah.
You know, and here's where we stand. We stand 0-1, right?
Yep.
Let's go to Adam on the south side. Rob, thank you for the call. Adam, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. So here's my issue, man, is that we're still the Jaguars, and that's the frustrating part, because when I look at today, you know, obviously I was at the game, you know, it's like I can't point to one factor cost us the game. You know, it wasn't just the drops. It was, you know, we're giving up 3rd and 7, give up 3rd and 10. We are dropping passes. You know, when we get down in the red zone, we're overthrowing receivers or no one's getting open. And it's still a combination of things. It's not one thing that we can point at and say, man, we need to fix that. There's still a whole line of things that we need to fix. And it's just, man, it's not the preseason. And that's the bottom line. And it's just, man, it's fool's gold. I bought in again, and it just looks like, man, 4 or 5 wins might be it. That's it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thank you, Adam.
This is the third time we've heard the term fool's gold today, I think. Right? Eh, second or third.
I understand why. Look, again, you go through a whole offseason of expectation and hope and hype or however you want to phrase it, and then you're left flat and you feel like, oh, man, are we seeing the same season play itself out? And I know it's only 1 week, but, again, this year was very similar to the way I've felt this team played over the last couple of seasons here. And honestly, the difference to me, JP, look, if there's not any one thing, there are mistakes in this area, there are mistakes in that area. You don't think Carolina's saying, you know what, we missed 2 field goals, we lost our best defensive player, we lost our best receiver in training camp. They had a lot going against them as well. But if your quarterback plays well enough, and I'm not saying Cam Newton played brilliantly, but he picked up a couple of key third downs, maybe more needs to be on Blake Bortles' shoulders, or he needs to do more with what's on his shoulders. You can overcome if you have a great quarterback or great quarterback play. And I didn't think Blake played particularly great today. I didn't say he was terrible, but he missed some passes throwing high. I don't know if he was throwing them away. Didn't feel like he had the time to deliver it. I didn't think he was super sharp. Now, he was hurt by some drops as well, but I didn't think he did anything above and beyond the X's and O's to carry the rest of the team. And maybe that's unfair to put that burden on a quarterback, but that burden is on a quarterback quite often in the National Football League. It's just the way it is.
That's the way this sport goes.
Yeah.
Man. The quarterback's got to take that heat. A few scores before we get to break. Games in action. Tennessee over Tampa 28-7 at the 2-minute warning of the first half. The Raiders are raidering again, 17-0 Cincinnati. That's less than 2 to go in the first half. Denver over Baltimore 9-3 with just seconds to go before halftime. Lions lead the Chargers 21-10, start early in the third quarter. And at halftime, Arizona 14, New Orleans 10. We'll take a timeout. Scoreboard Show continues in a moment. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. The Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Getting a lot of tweets today, too, Michael.
We're getting a few of those. You care to share any?
I got one from at Langford84.
All right.
This is to me. It doesn't take 3 years, bro. Stop extending the build. It doesn't take this long to implement your players and system. Well, I say, well, it's the third year. This is the year everybody looked at, right? I mean, at the start of this build. But when they did what they did, whacked everybody and started really from scratch, well, yeah, this is the third year. I agree it should start happening now, but can't waste the whole season away after this. I think it does take this long if they were as bare as they were.
And this long,
unless,
like,
you're going to do it the wrong way and buy a bunch of free agents and be not sustainable for the long run. But is this sustainable? I don't know.
We don't know. I mean, what?
Well, maybe you're right.
I think
maybe
this actually right. This is sustainable because we've seen it right. For 2+ seasons. But
so maybe Langford 84 is right. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, he may be. You know,
I don't know.
I get the look. Any Jaguar fan that's impatient or had it, I get it. I do. I got it last year, and I particularly get it now in year three. And Gus Bradley tells you before the season starts, the build's over. There's no more rebuilding.
Right. There's
right
time
now.
To go. Perform.
It's time to go perform, and they didn't perform today. And you can point to all the reasons maybe why they didn't perform, but every team has a list of reasons why they may or may not perform on a given week. And, you know, it's one thing. Seattle goes out and loses. You think they're going to panic? No, they've been to the Super Bowl a couple of times. So they lose in overtime. They're going to say, you know what, we're going to regroup. We're going to come back. We know. We've been there. We've done that. The Jags don't know. They hope. They haven't been there. They haven't done that. So when they lose in a very similar fashion to what we've seen over the last couple of years, I totally get the fan reaction to this.
Yes, but it's 1 week. It's 1 week.
To Jag fans, it's 33 weeks, JP. And
yeah,
that's true.
Sure.
I mean, they're the ones, they're paying tickets, big money for tickets. They're coming out. They're supporting their team. They're buying. We're all in. This year, hashtag more. All these things, they've gone from 4 wins in the first year after an 0-8 start that was arguably the worst half season of football in NFL history, to 3 wins last year, to a game that was, you could have put it right smack dab in the middle of the last 2 seasons and it would have fit in perfectly. So I get it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Let's go to Todd and Jack's Beach up
still
next
one
year.
Week.
It's one week of the season.
In the 2015 season.
Granted, but if you're grading it on what they've done,
yes,
it was an uninspiring week.
As a lot of the last 2 years have been, yes.
Yes. Let's go to Todd and Jack's Beach up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Todd.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, to put a positive spin on it, depending on what Tennessee does, we're tied for first or second in the division.
that's the positive spin. We're also tied for last in the division. So
yeah.
It's the same thing. But, if you want to spin it that way, you're certainly able to.
But anyway, watching the game, I mean, the offense came out so lackluster. And to be within inside the 15-yard line 2 times within the first half and get nothing, and then the field goal kicker blow it on an extra point and a field goal, doesn't look good on the offense. The defense kept us in the game, but unfortunately, the offense just struggled again. I mean, we had that game. That should have been our game. That's just the way I look at it.
Fred made the good point. 3 and out to start, back-to-back 3 and outs to start. That's frustrating after what we saw in the preseason, what we thought this offense at least was going to look like. That's not what this offense looked like.
You know, but even that, look, you're going to have some 3 and outs whenever they come, early, late.
But boy, back-to-back to start
that
game.
Granted,
man,
but it's not like Carolina ran and hid from them. They were right there in it. They're able to tie it up. You miss a field goal, right? You fumble in the red zone. You finally look like you're going to tie it right before the half. You miss the extra point. And, so, I mean, how many missed opportunities can you have? This team without Julius Thomas, without Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, we don't know how injured he was playing
Derek
in that game.
Marks yet either. Yeah,
right, but I'm just talking
side.
About offensively here. You are not – you don't have the margin of error to miss those kind of opportunities. You've got to take advantage of those opportunities. 4th touchdown pass from Marcus Mariota, by the way, a moment ago.
Gosh.
So that's
not
a little salt in your wounds right there as far as that goes. Are we taking?
You know what? I don't like Oregon either. How about that?
All right, fine.
We'll take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Final segment of calls coming up. Final score 20-9. Carolina, a winner over Jacksonville. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. We'll get to a couple more calls here. If you don't get on, the fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. You can call 641-1010 and get those guys going. By the way, the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Luke Jokel reported to be wearing a boot in the locker room. He's hopeful to be back next week. That's what he said to the local media here. Aaron Culver had a shoulder injury today. Rashad Green with the hard hit in the fourth quarter. Arm Brister with a back injury. We'll get updates fully tomorrow from head coach Gus Bradley. Let's get to it, Michael. The final couple of calls here on the Scoreboard
Show. All right, let's go to Biggie in Ponte Vedra. Biggie, you're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. How are you?
All right.
We're doing all right. What's up?
So, I have an issue. I would be called a Generation Jaguar. I was very young when the Jaguars got their team. I went there with my parents for all the games. I was the one who always, everyone said, like, oh, Jaguars have no fans. And recently, about 3 years ago, I moved away for work. And today was the first game I came back from New Jersey to watch the Jaguars. And I was so upset about the amount of Carolina fans there. I don't understand why there were so many fans there, and I don't know if you guys can like explain to me why there were so many fans there.
They bought the tickets.
Yeah, they bought them.
I mean, they're single game tickets available. They bought them, and it's not that long a drive from Carolina.
5-hour drive, I guess, from Charlotte.
I mean, yeah, I mean, what else? If tickets are available. The Jags would love a situation where there's a waiting list and they're sold out. They're not in that situation. They're not going to turn away anybody. You buy a ticket, you don't have to pledge your allegiance when you buy the ticket. And honestly, kudos to them if they made the trip. And look, we've hyped up the fact, and again, kudos to the Bold City Brigade and the Teal Street Hooligans and all these guys organizing this big wave of Jaguar fans that are going to descend upon Tampa. Well, it looks like Carolina said, we're going to take advantage of this opportunity to buy up as many as we possibly can and show up in force as well.
Road goes both ways, man.
Absolutely. You know, so in that regard, I'd say kudos to that. Look, I don't want to see it. I'd rather 100% be in Jaguar colors out there cheering their heads off for Blake Bortles and company, but it's not the way it was today, and that's just simple economics. Let's get Sam. Sam's driving home from the game.
It's the last one.
Last one, Sammy, under the wire. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. First of all, thank you so much for what you do. This is awesome information we get. Listen, I just want to say, just kind of spin it a little bit because the caller before me said something about in our division where even we lost, everybody else lost. So that's a good positive, even though we lost, it's still. What I got to say is 16 teams from the NFL also lost, or actually will lose. So we're in the same situation they're in for right now. But what really got me, what really bothers me so much is when I was watching the game, it's just the same old thing. I couldn't believe how bad we looked. And then the fans around me, we were almost Jaguars where I sit, and they're all the same thing. Everybody was like, just unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. And here we are, everybody just hoping that we're going to get a good season. I know it's just one game. Hopefully, God willing, next week they'll come back and they'll shine or something, or Miami's bus will have a flat tire, will not show up to the game or something like that. But anyway, guys, that's all I wanted to say.
All right, Sammy. Hey, look, JP, it's kind of like what I said. I don't care if it's Miami's bus, it's whatever. If Ndamukong Suh wants to not make the trip, just win the game. Just you got to get a W. Ugly it up, I don't care. Just get a W. Don't let this snowball, right? Because we've seen some bad starts for this football team. And look, I don't want to – if you or I were to say, hey, it's only one game, which we pointed out, you know, you're bought and paid for, yeah. Right? I mean, look, it is only one game, but I think the thing is you look – and again, if you're Seattle, hey, we lost in overtime. We scored 31 points. Been there, done that. That's a different kind of 0-1. than you are. Now, look, 0-1's 0-1. In the end, it's not an opinion poll, but the question you have to ask is, do you see this coming together to quickly turn this around before you fall too far back in the standings? And based on today, I would say no. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but based on today, I don't see the evidence of that after one game.
I believe it makes this week pretty much vital.
It's extremely vital, right? Because you're going on the road to Foxborough, right? Did it look like the Patriots slipped much from the Super Bowl championship?
Nah.
Not a whole lot, right? Indy, look, they ran into a buzzsaw of a defense in Buffalo. Give the Bills credit, but Indy, until proven otherwise, has been the class of the division, and we'll see where they are over the next couple weeks. Maybe they take a step back, but that's going to be a tough game. And then you make the trip to Tampa, which now you look at it is a must-win kind of football game. And we're getting way far ahead of ourselves. Let's focus on Miami coming into town next week. And, again, the Dolphins didn't play great football. Washington's not a great football team. They found a way, though, unlike the Jags, to make a couple of critical plays at a couple of critical times, and they walk away with a victory. So they say, you know what, we didn't play great, but we can work on fixing that, and the bottom line is we're 1-0. So they feel a lot better about themselves, obviously.
So the Jags are 0-1 after a 20-9 loss to the Carolina Panthers. Well done, Michael. We'll talk to you. I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
For Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, Joe Fortunato, everyone involved, thank you for your calls tonight in the Scoreboard Show. Stay tuned. The fifth quarter with Hacker and T-Wig is next. This has been the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.